When I pull up to the parking lot, it's time to level up. Dial in, showing out for your team. Listen up, get you some, I stand the fan to give you what you need. Fan fuel, game time, turn up the intensity. Team colors bleeding out, 5-hour energy. For a limited time, get the fan fuel flavor at 5hourenergy.com.
Whatever the adventure, there's a BMW engineered to take it on. The X3 delivers a striking design with agile performance. The 100% electric i4 packed with pure electric energy. Or the plug-in hybrid X5, an impressive, versatile SUV granting full control on every journey. Choose what powers your next adventure during the BMW Road Home Sales Event. BMW, the ultimate driving machine. Hurry in for exceptional offers through January 2nd. Visit BMWUSA.com for details.
Football fans, do you want to hear the whole unadulterated truth about where your team stands?
It's the most embarrassing film I have ever watched in my entire life.
Former NFL lineman Mark Schlereth gives his perspective on the top storylines and games on a weekly basis on the Stinkin' Truth Podcast.
You may get out of here with 2 sacks and a tackle for loss, but you're getting out with a bloody nose.
New episodes drop every Monday and Thursday.
It's going to be a street fight.
Make sure to subscribe on the Odyssey app or wherever you find your podcasts.
I don't know if it's because of Friday the 13th or what, but Newell Normand has the day off today. I'm Dave Cohen, glad to be with you. As one person just texted in, obviously a listener to my early morning show, they said now it's a lucky day. Well, thank you. I appreciate that. We will talk about Friday the 13th and why it has historically been perceived as a bad thing, a dangerous thing, a superstitious thing, and what's up with that? We'll discuss that coming up here on WWL. Next hour, Mike Haas joins us, the voice of the New Orleans Saints, to talk about the Saints versus Washington with Derek Carr apparently out. What's that going to mean for the quarterback play, and can Haener be the man to get the Saints a victory and at least get them across the bridge for us until and unless Derek Carr is ready to come back? Can he keep the slim playoff hopes alive? In the 12 o'clock hour, we're going to talk with the movers and shakers associated with the Super Bowl coming to New Orleans. Coming up in February, we're less than two months away from the big game, and a lot is happening. There are ways you can get involved in helping make it a huge success here in New Orleans, and other ways that you can just enjoy everything surrounding the Super Bowl in the Crescent City. In between there, I will open up the lines, probably the second half of next hour, and maybe the last part of this hour. I do want to talk about this deadly police chase because I've seen a lot on social media. I've heard a lot of commentary, even some texts on the Oakland Art Jewelers talk and text line at 504-260-1870 about the death of these two teenagers who were innocent bystanders, had nothing to do with the police pursuit that ended with three fleeing alleged shoplifters crashing into their vehicle and killing two of the teenagers in that vehicle. I want to talk about how do we keep that from happening again, and what issues are there that need to be addressed? And there are a host of them that relate to pursuit policies, relate to federal intervention in the New Orleans Police Department and the consent decree, and what we've seen is a nationwide trend of shoplifters thinking that they can not only shoplift and get away with it and no one will do anything, cops won't go after them and prosecutors won't charge them, but also that they can flee from the police, that the bad guys can just drive away at a high rate of speed and the police will say, oh, well, and give up the chase. Is that what they should do? And how do we get to a place where we find a good combination of all of these factors? We'll talk about that a couple of times over the next 3 hours. And I want to hear from you on the Oakland Art Jewelers talk and text line at 504-260-1870. But we're not talking about that just yet. For the next few minutes, I want to talk about Friday the 13th. Joining us to help us understand why Friday the 13th is such an issue is Associate Professor of Anthropology Emeritus at University of Buffalo SUNY, Professor Phil Stevens. Hey, Prof, how you doing?
Yes, fine. Here I am. And boy, that's a sad lead-in to this discussion. Let's have some fun instead of for a few minutes anyway.
Yeah, we'll try to balance it out. We like to do a little bit of both. Obviously, we want to confront the major issues, but we also like to talk about things that aren't quite so serious. But for some people, Friday the 13th is very serious. Some people won't leave the house on Friday the 13th. Some people are convinced that bad things are going to happen to them or around them on Friday the 13th. And I'm not sure why. I'll be honest with you. I will fess up from the start. I am not a superstitious person, but I do sometimes observe some superstitions just because maybe it won't hurt me. You know, maybe I won't open an umbrella inside just not to tempt fate. Maybe I won't, although I did this week, walk under a ladder. That just seems like a silly thing to do in most instances, but I needed something right on the other side of it, so I just kind of walked under, grabbed it, and walked back. But I'm a little tiny bit superstitious, but not because I really fear something bad's going to happen, but just in case there's something to it, maybe not take any risk I don't have to unnecessarily. Are you at all superstitious, Professor?
Well, my argument is that we all are. So let's look at what this means. I'm retired, as you said, but I use
the fancy word emeritus to say that you're retired.
Emeritus, yes, that means retired. But I've just finished a book that was published this year by Routledge, in which I explore these issues. And the first thing we need to look at quickly is the word itself. Superstition comes from two Latin words, super, which means above, the root for superior, higher, and stitio, which is a standing point. So it implies that we know very well that there's a better explanation, and it can be a put-down. And that's kind of unfair. We want to be careful about using the term, because this is these kinds of beliefs are examples of universal patterns of human thinking. Everywhere in the world and throughout history, people believe in two things. One, things that are similar to other things. And the similarity can be in form, shape, or behavior, or color, or sound, any attribute. Things that are similar to other things have a causal relationship with those other things. Sometimes that causal relationship can be beneficial, but sometimes it can be negative. And secondly, things that have been in contact, in direct physical contact with other things, retain an element of connection after they are separated. And these two patterns of thinking are absolutely universal, and they are the basis for these superstitions.
All right, well, let's put those in words that maybe are a little more understandable for our audience. I'll go backwards. When you say the causal effect of things that come into contact with other things, we're talking about curses, we're talking about bad luck, we're talking about bad juju that some things may have?
Not curses. Let's go to the origin of this particular superstition, Friday the 13th. Most scholars, most people today regard this as having originated with the traditional story of the Last Supper of Jesus, which was presumed to have been on a Thursday night. There were 13 people at that table. At that night, Jesus was betrayed by one of those 13. He was arrested, and the story is well known. He was flogged and crucified the next day, which was a Friday. And thereafter, any conjunction of those elements appearing later on could be considered bad luck, because they are similar to that terrible event.
So Friday the 13th and the number 13 were not necessarily bad luck prior to Christianity coming into being, prior to Jesus Christ.
Correct.
These were not things. They don't go back into pagan times of 13 being bad luck or Friday the 13th being bad luck.
Well, now, there are some arguments that the number 13 has a much older history and does go into earlier pre-Christian times. And there's a story about the Norse gods and so on. I'm not fully familiar with that. Those are fairly localized. The Christian story spread widely and even into non-Christian areas. The superstition spread, and it spread so widely that a lot of people don't know this origin of it. Let's look at some other illustrations which you've already mentioned, like breaking a mirror. The mirror reflects things, and the break in the mirror could be somehow damage to those things that are reflected in it.
And then 7 years of bad luck.
And the seven is, I'm not sure where that comes from. There are different numbers in people's numerological superstitions. 3 and 7 and 40, for example, are all significant numbers. That varies tremendously. It means a substantial amount, that, as opposed to 3, which is a smaller amount. And 40, the number 40 in the Bible is appears very frequently. That's a long, 40 is a long time. Let's talk about the umbrella in the house, which you've already mentioned also. An umbrella is designed for protection from storm. We want to keep storm outside the house. The open umbrella is for that purpose only, or maybe protection against intense sunlight too. But opening it inside the house can bring those elements in. The house, universally, the residence is a place of peace, of order, of domesticity, and so on. Outside is potentially unpredictable, violent. The umbrella belongs outside. The same principles operate with the old superstition, which your grandmother might have believed in. If her husband, your grandfather or your great grandfather, left his hat on their marital bed, she might be very upset. That superstition seems to have died, because the hat is designed for protection from outside, from storm, or from something unpleasant, right? And the bed is where you not only you sleep, but you create life in the bed.
Yes, pleasant things should happen in the bed. Yes,
exactly.
You know, it's funny because to this day, it is military code that when you are wearing a hat or a cover, as it's generally referred to in the military, you remove it indoors, and it is it's frowned upon in the military. I don't know how it's punishable, because I've never been in the military myself, but I know people who have been, and they tell me they will take their hat off the second they come through the threshold and go indoors, and that's still a thing, and it is bad for them to be wearing their hat inside.
Yeah, you're absolutely right. You're absolutely right, but in the military, it has a double association with weaponry, with violence. In the ancient times, a warrior absolutely must leave his weaponry and his armor outside the house. From my childhood, it was impolite for any man to wear any hat inside any building.
Wow, and definitely don't put it on the bed. Yeah,
you're right. Or stepping on a crack. There's another.
All right, well, I'm going to pause you right there, and we'll find out why Mama's back is going to get broken if we step on a crack with Professor Phil Stevens, emeritus, retired. Coming up after this, if you have any questions about any superstitions and why we have them, whether it's walking under a ladder, stepping on a crack, a black cat, or anything else on this Friday the 13th, call in and ask Professor Stevens, or text me on the Oakland Heart Jewelers Talk and Text line at 504-260-1870. And honestly, are you being at all a little careful today on this Friday the 13th? Are you even a little bit superstitious? We'll talk about that coming up. And then we'll get into sports superstition, which to me is a whole nother thing. here on WWL. I'm Dave Cohen, in for Newell Norman. Let's hear that Stevie Wonder. Coleman in Master Control with the theme of the movie Friday the 13th. There you go. All right. I'm Dave Cohen, in for Newell Norman. We're talking with Professor Emeritus Phil Stevens about superstition. He's got a book out just this year talking about Friday the 13th and superstitions and why we behave the way we do. Professor, I think it's safe to say the vast majority of people don't know why things that they do because they're fearful, they're bad luck. They avoid them anyway, even though they don't understand it. You were about to tell us before we had to take the break about why we don't want to step on a crack and break Mama's back. It rhymes, and I think that probably has something to do with it. But where did that start? That when you're walking down the sidewalk, if you step on a crack, in between two pieces of concrete or a cracked piece of concrete, you're going to break your mother's back.
Right, and the next line says, "Step on a line, break your father's spine." I think this little ditty was created sometime in earlier centuries to remind us of these superstitions. Crack is damage, and stepping on it could infect you with the essence of damage. Now, this sounds silly, but this really is the basis for this idea. And such magical energy is contagious. Things that you associate with could become infected by the essence of damage, if you're following me.
It's actually very simple when you break it down like that. You don't want to be associated with something broken because it will then lead to you having bad gree-gree. You being infected with badness.
Especially if you have been in direct contact with it, you see. Another popular superstition has to do with black cats, which are frequently mentioned. This has to do with witchcraft beliefs. And by the way, the book I referred to has the words magic and witchcraft in the title, not superstition, in case anybody's looking for it.
What is the title, just so we're clear on that?
Rethinking the Anthropology of Magic and Witchcraft. It's a new theory of both magic and witchcraft beliefs. And the cat is associated with witches. We're talking about the ancient witch, the evil witch of classical beliefs of the Inquisition of late medieval early modern Europe.
Not current Wiccan, but we're going back to cauldrons and brooms and all that.
Yes, this is a thoroughly evil person. Who had all kinds of supernatural abilities, including a familiar animal. The word familiar was used as a noun. The familiar was the witch's pet, usually an animal, but sometimes a spirit, which shared in the witch's power. And a cat was a common witch's pet in the late medieval Europe and in New England as well. And if black cat, blackness is the color of night and by association, nefarious things that go
darkness
on at night.
Yeah.
So if a black cat crosses your path, as the old superstition goes, you are in line for some bad luck. It might mean that the witch is looking for you, or has already spotted you
out to find you. Perhaps
the cat is an extension of the witch's power.
That's the modern day crazy old cat lady, I think. Maybe they were just crazy old cat ladies back in the day, and they were perceived as evil. So there you go. All right. I walked under a ladder.
I never thought of that. That's interesting. Can we talk to J.D. Vance about that interpretation? No, never mind.
let's not get political. I walked under a ladder. We were putting up some lights at my house this week. And something I needed, I think the staple gun was on the other side of the A-frame ladder. And it was a whole lot easier just to walk under the ladder, grab it, and walk back instead of walking around it. But it did occur to me at the time that I was tempting fate, that I was risking my well-being and could be struck with bad luck because I walked under a ladder, as you're instructed not to do. That just seems, from a safety standpoint, if someone's on the ladder with a hammer or other tools, you don't want to step under them because they might drop it on you. But where did that one come from?
Well, I think that's it. A lot of superstitions correspond to what anthropologists call taboo, things you avoid in order to not to establish a magical connection. And that's all of the things we've been talking about so far. But this one is a puzzle to me. There have been lots of interpretations of the symbolism of the ladder. But I think yours is the correct one. It's like why we avoid death, why we avoid corpses and so on, as a matter of safe personal safety. Walking under a ladder is not a very sensible thing to do. And some taboos, some superstitions do arise out of practical behaviors, and I think that's the best answer for this one. Whether or not there's somebody up the ladder working, he or she may have left something up there, a bucket of paint or whatever, which could fall. So I think that's the best I can do for you. If you've
gotcha.
Got other explanations,
right.
I'd love to hear them.
I'm just spitballing here, you know, off the top of my head. All right, so what are some of the other ones that you have studied that you can share with us that people may find interesting about why we have certain superstitions?
Well, there are literally thousands, and they vary with cultures. The ones I've given you, I had prepared in advance because they are widespread. They are trans. Cultural. They're found in many, many areas of the world based on these same principles of magical connections.
There are some good superstitions as well. Find a penny, pick it up, and all the day you'll have good luck. I guess that's just because you found something of value, huh?
Well, people can establish their own and do. People do. A shiny stone, a clear, bright stone, or a shiny penny, or something that is associated with good luck. The first dollar we made in our lemonade stand or whatever, that particular item might be taken and held by an individual as a talisman, a symbol of personal luck.
The lucky rabbit's foot.
Yes, yes.
What's that all about? Poor rabbit.
There's another one. Thank you for that. Lots of interpretations of that. The rabbit is fast and so on and so on. But this one really comes down to certain behaviors of the rabbit. Wherever rabbits are in the world, they are noted for their rapid reproduction. Right? They breed.
Nice way to put that, yes.
Rapidly. So rabbits become symbols of fertility. This is why at Easter time, two pagan symbols are rabbits and eggs. And you have a rabbit carrying a basket of eggs as a symbol of a pagan symbol of Easter time. Both of them are symbols of fertility. So a piece of that rabbit. Until PETA.
Seems like an odd piece, his foot, but okay.
We used to be able to buy dried rabbit's feet attached to little keychains, right?
Yes.
You won't find them anymore.
No. Animal rights groups have kind of put an end to that.
Right, exactly.
Horseshoes.
What else? A horseshoe. Now, here's another one with multiple interpretations. And again, the best one is that a horseshoe upright with the points pointing upward represents horns. It represents a horned animal like a bull. which are universally, absolutely universally symbolic of power, of potentially good power, strong power. Horseshoe.
You want a bull market. That's always a good thing. And bulls are always perceived as being strong and virile and all those things. Yeah.
That's right. And a horseshoe hung with the points upward over your doorway is a good luck sign. It brings beneficial power to the household or whatever the building is. That's a good illustration. Give me another.
Well, let's shift a little bit, Professor Phil Stevens, to sports, the sports arena, because I know a lot of athletes who are extremely superstitious. They wear the same clothes, they go through the same routine, and even fans of their teams. You know, there are people who won't change their socks if the team wins while they were wearing them, and they'll wear those same filthy, smelly, stinky socks until their team loses. We had a coach here in New Orleans of the Saints who would chew the same piece of gum as long as things were going well in a game, and if things started going badly, he changed the gum. I remember a pitcher who would never step on foul lines, had to jump over them, and had to eat licorice every inning before he went to pitch. I mean, there's all these sports superstitions.
There is a classic article written by an anthropologist who was a former minor league baseball player. It's called Baseball Magic. Tell your audience to look it up online. They will find it. It talks about baseball superstitions, and they are explainable according to the exact same principles that we've been describing. Things that are associated with a successful game will be retained and performed in other games. A bat that has hit a home run will be separated from bats that have struck out. The strikeout bat will be separated, and so that it does not contaminate other bats. George Gmelch is the author of that paper, and he talks about a player who did miserably, and he couldn't understand why he did so poorly. And then he remembered that his wife had prepared pancakes for him that morning. He never has pancakes, or rarely has pancakes for breakfast. So on subsequent game days, when he was going to play, he avoided pancakes. He established his own pancake taboo. When I was in high school, I was a swimmer. And on one day, I broke the school record in my event. And on that day, I had been wearing a certain set of clothes. And I consciously made an effort to wear the same clothes on subsequent days when I was going to compete in the pool. This is long before I became an anthropologist and studied this stuff. This was my human nature. Things that are associated with good things or with negative things will retain those associations, you see. And that explains most sports superstitions and activities in which there is not only competition, but some element of risk. Some element of potential danger. We could go on.
And this is universal across cultures, across time, across geographical lines, races, everything. These same kinds of beliefs, superstitions, fears, and beliefs and rewards for things, that they cross just about every boundary, huh?
That's right. And the subtitle of my book is Inherently Human. That's where my new theory of magic and witchcraft differ from all other previous theories, that we're talking about fundamental human patterns of thinking and human behavior.
Professor Phil Stevens, thank you so much for joining us. I know you got to run. We appreciate, I know this is a busy day for you since it's Friday the 13th and you being an expert and such. So thank you so much for joining us here on WWL and sharing it. And I know we can find your book everywhere they sell books, including online and in stores.
Yeah, thank you very much for inviting me to join you.
All right, have a safe and happy Friday the 13th. There you go. I'm Dave Cohen, in for Newell Norman. Curious your thoughts at 504-260-1870. This is crazily universal, and I think even people like myself who say I'm not superstitious, From time to time, we'll find myself doing things that make me feel better because they're supposed to be lucky or they're supposed to bring luck and fortune. You know, is it going to kill me to eat black-eyed peas and cabbage on New Year's Day? No, obviously it's not. Is it going to make my life worse? Well, it makes my house stink. But other than that, eh, I guess it's worth the... I don't believe it's really going to do anything, but just in case it will, I'll have that to eat. We'll continue the conversation coming up here on WWL. Call me, text me on the Oakland Art Jewelers Talk and Text Line at 504-260-1870. And we'll also, after the break, begin the conversation about this deadly police pursuit. The chase ended, but the fleeing did not. And the result is now two dead teenage girls who had nothing to do with it. How do we solve these problems that have led to a society now where we have so many people who believe they can get away with things without consequence? And how do we prevent more teenage girls from dying as a result of that being the new reality, or children or parents or anybody else dying who is an innocent bystander as a result of it? We'll talk about both those things coming up after this on WWL. Coleman on fire in Master Control today. That's Black Cat by Janet Jackson. I like it. I love it. I want some more of it. Ooh, maybe one by her brother would be good coming up that also addresses superstition to some extent. People are texting me on the Oakland Heart Jewelers Talking Text Line at 504-260-1870 about all the crazy things that we associate with good luck and bad luck that you may not even think about or ever questioned why you do it, but you do it. Or you say you don't do it, but you really do. Someone says lucky beans and four-leaf clovers. Somebody else says making a wish at 11:11 for good luck. Why do we make a wish when we blow out candles on our birthday? What's that all about? Yet, that's nearly universal. People always do it. She is shooting star, you make a wish. You lose an eyelash, you blow it into the wind and make a wish. I mean, all these things that we do are rooted somewhere, started somewhere, and caught on. I mean, this was, you know, long before things on the internet would go viral. These kinds of things spread from culture to culture, from village to village, from group to group, and some of them stuck. And to this day, there are things we do that we have no idea why we do them, but we do because it's something that's been done for so long, and things that we associate with good luck or bad luck. We're talking about it on this Friday the 13th because some people really do believe Friday the 13th is bad luck. Somebody, we got several people texting asking more about the professor. Yeah, if you want to learn more about his research, his name is Phil Stevens, P-H-I-L, S-T-E-V-E-N-S, no P-H, he spells it with a V. And the name of his latest book is Rethinking the Anthropology of Magic and Witchcraft. Some people are offering alternate theories for some of the things that he talked about. And I think some of these are very hard to nail down why things are good luck or bad luck, why things are tempting fate and not. And I think that often the search for an explanation leads us to multiple possible explanations. But many times these things predate the written word. They predate anyone actually historically recording these kinds of things. You know, obviously they're before the internet and even before books. And, you know, who was going to sit down and hammer and chisel explanations for these things? Obviously no one was. So we do end up, I think, with best guessing, where we're trying to figure out, you know, is this really why we do this? Did stepping on a crack not to break your mother's back or stepping on a line not to break your father's spine really come from a fear of being associating broken things with our feet and touching them with our feet or hands or any part of our body? And then that would lead to bad things for us because we stepped on something broken. I don't know, but it makes sense. And it seems to be a good explanation, just like the rabbit's foot. You know, someone else texted, you know, I wear my lucky drawers when I go out clubbing. Yeah, well, I guess if it worked for you, if you got the outcome you wanted when you wore that pair of underwear one time and it led to a happy ending, for lack of a better term, for you that night, I guess you could say, well, these underwear worked before, they'll work again. But do you really believe it had anything to do with it? Just like if you wore a certain Saints jersey and the team won, do you really think wearing that jersey made the team win? Do you really think what, you know, Drew Brees used to always eat, what, Cheesy Mac the night before a game? And they were winning a lot at that time when they were doing that. The Super Bowl season, he ate Cheesy Mac before every game, I recall. So maybe it helps put you in a better mindset, though. And if you believe it helps you, maybe you do perform better. But if you're not even on the team and have nothing to do with it, what you wear sitting in your living room, do you really think that changes the outcome, or what routine you do affects if your favorite team wins? I guess it can't hurt to do it, but all right, we'll continue the conversation coming up. Taking your calls, 504-260-1870 on the Oakland Heart Jewelers Talk and Text line. Oh, there's Michael. Man in the mirror. Yeah, all right, the superstition of breaking a mirror. But you know, the idea of this story, this song, is more that you've got to make the change in your life. You've got to do things to bring yourself good luck. So, wow, that's a double one, Coleman. Good job. Wow, Coleman, I didn't expect you to go country on us. All right, it just happened. All right. We're talking about superstition on this Friday the 13th. I don't think it has anything to do with bad luck, but we do have some bad traffic. On either side of David Drive on the I-10, heading both into and out of Metairie, whether you're heading eastbound or westbound, we've got about 3 miles of delay in both directions. I don't see an indication yet of what's causing it, but there must be some sort of incident right there at David Drive to have traffic backed up in both directions. So if you know what's going on there, text me or call us on the Oakland Heart Jewelers Talk and Text line at 504-260-1870. And let us know what's going on. But either way, if you've got to get into or out of Kenner right now, and if you're either coming from LaPlace to Kenner or Metairie to Kenner, you might want to consider going around on Airline or Veterans, because it's backed up from David Drive heading out towards Kenner all the way back. Really almost to Transcontinental now. Well, that's not an exit, but almost to about halfway to Clearview. And if you're coming in, it's backed up from between the 310 all the way into Kenner. So there you go. We'll see if we can get some more information on that for you here on WWL. Coming up next hour, Mike Haas joins us, the voice of the Saints, to talk about what we can expect to see Sunday in the Superdome, as now it's looking like Haener is going to get the start for the Saints at quarterback because Carr is out and apparently has not cleared the concussion protocol. Plus, he's got a broken non-throwing hand. So the Saints' slim chances of making the postseason, they're apparently going to rest on the shoulders of a backup quarterback this Sunday in the Superdome. So we'll talk to Mike Haas about that. We can also, as it'll still be Friday the 13th throughout the program, continue to entertain your calls and texts at 504-260-1870 about superstition. One person texted in, said, Dave, you're not superstitious, but it sounds like you're little stitious. I don't like to tempt fate if I don't have to, but generally I really don't believe any of that stuff is true. I really don't believe that it matters if I step on a crack, walk under a ladder, accidentally break a mirror. I've broken mirrors, and I'm pretty sure I didn't have 7 years of bad luck after that. But I still will blow on dice before I roll them. Why not? Other than it's a little gross, you're just putting your germs on the dice. But it can't hurt, right? Other than it might be spreading bacteria. And I avoid doing certain, you know, I generally don't open an umbrella inside, but typically I don't have any reason to open an umbrella inside. I've never carried a lucky rabbit's foot, but now that I hear it might get me lucky, then I don't know. Maybe I should try to find one.
Do you break a turkey's wishbone?
Coleman, I do. Well, I did in the past. Now the kids typically do it. But yeah, as a kid, I loved to break the wishbone and make a wish. But why? Why do we take the carcass of a dead bird that we've just consumed and crack that bone in half and think that whoever gets the bigger piece is going to get good luck? How does that make any real sense? It probably doesn't, but hey, we don't necessarily have to make sense, right? All right, we're talking Saints, and we'll talk about police chases and criminals up next.